CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikael Mir's financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. It is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul. And today, because it is the third Friday of the week, we have Mikael Mayer here, and Mikael can be found on the web at mikaelmayer.com, MIKAEL MEIR.com. And today should be an interesting topic. We're going to be talking about the three steps toward more empowered leadership, the DNA of leadership development. Now, you came about this because you did a conference with a bunch of different people.
I was recently at this leadership and ethics conference, it was sponsored by an academic organization, and there were a number of people there from academia, from the private sector, from nonprofit. And it was actually on energy leadership and ethics. So we were looking at how oil and gas exploration impacts people, the environment, and so on and so forth. But the first day was predominantly around leadership and ethics, and it was fascinating to hear the different perspectives from different constituencies in community.
Right.
You know, like the nonprofits had their angle, the private sector has their angle, there was a native community that obviously had their angle. And, you know, it was really fascinating to see, you know, just the extent to which others are impacted by this global drive for profit, which, you know, some may say is an obsession and compulsion of our business society. And so the core of it was, you know, what is the core of sort of my piece in it, where I was a panelist, was what is an ethical leader? You know, what does that mean?
Right.
And it was fascinating just kind of sharing ideas and perspectives in kind of an open forum. There's a lot of flow to it. It wasn't very structured.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And was there a lot of people there asking questions and stuff, or was it just part of this group?
There were questions. There were comments. There was experience. There was research. Yes. There was observations.
Nice. Very cool.
Mm.
And so the general consensus was, you know, the greed was not assisting us, I hope.
Yeah, we didn't talk. It's funny, we didn't get into, I mean, I obviously brought up greed because it's an area that I'm intimately familiar with, but we didn't get into a lot about greed. Values was a big conversation.
Uh-huh.
And what are the values? And, you know, I mean, in some ways, I think people that focus in this area of ethics miss the essence of what ethics is. You know, there's this whole notion of corporate social responsibility, which, you know, we have to be proper, we have to treat the planet properly, we have to have a social conscience in terms of how we conduct business. And it's like a checkbox, you know, it's just this checklist. And there's this whole, you know, notion of greenwashing, where organizations just kind of, you know, tie a little green bow on what they do and say, okay, you know, we're compliant.
Right.
With respect to regulations, our community's not going to get too upset with us. Our shareholders are going to like us. We've ticked that box off versus, you know, really acting from a place of integrity, because that's who you're being on a daily basis. And so there was a question. Well, there were a bunch of questions, right? But there was a question that was posed to my panel that was particularly interesting, which was, you know, if there's a dimension of ethical leadership that needs to be identified, what is that? And what I put forth was, it's raised consciousness. Right. And then I got into, okay, guys, it's raised consciousness.
Right.
You know, what does that mean, and how do you do it?
Right.
I didn't have a long time to speak, but I, you know, just concisely got some points across.
Cool. So you started off with a quote from Lao Tzu.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's really what we're here to do, whether we do it in business or whether we do it for ourselves. I mean, it's all the same. It's all integrating, you know, our own mastery, our own development to create a more empowered leadership with ourselves, with the world, with, mm-hmm. you know, all relationships.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, and the other, I guess we should also preface the fact that what is leadership, you know, and I would say that leadership is, you know, an individual using their power to influence others to create positive change. There's a lot of definitions, but that's what I want to go with.
Okay.
It's certainly leadership is influence at its essence, right? And so, you know, what I propose is that you don't need to be a vice president or a CEO, or you can lead from anywhere in the organization. And if you're a parent, you're a leader of your kids. You know, if you're an actively involved single person in your community, you're leading the community. And we're all leading all of the time. It's not this notion of command, control, power, force, this sort of draconian industrial age concept of leadership. It is, from my perspective, knowing your values, getting really, gets back to the values conversation, knowing your values, getting really clear on your values, and then influencing others through, you know, through a connection to your values and communicating your values.
Right.
Yeah.
Leading by example,
but and by having clarity about who are you, what do you stand for, and just that beingness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have three children, and I feel strongly that my most important job as a father is to impart values to my kids. And you're right, leading by example is absolutely key. It's not just telling them, because they'll know the disconnect.
Especially, yeah.
Right? Between, there's the integrity gap between, you know, treat people kindly and then yelling at someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're going to see that. They're going to go, this is out of whack. And they're going to default to how you behave, not to what you say.
Right.
Right. So, you know, as in my past as a leader, you know, it's taking that vigilance and focus and discipline, and not just applying it to strategy, tactics, and execution of business, but applying it to behavior. Right.
Right.
And monitoring yourself. Am I in my values? Am I not in my values?
Yeah. And I know we like to talk about that because it's just such an important aspect of, you know, knowing yourself, which is what this is all about, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And it was back to the Lao Tzu, right? Back to the Lao Tzu.
Yeah.
You know, I've, just as an interesting story. So I've decided to take on a partner in my business, and instead of just doing leadership work now, I'm doing strategy and leadership, because my partner now is doing strategy. And we're pooling our two businesses together, and we have spent hour upon painstaking hour with a facilitator clearly defining what it is we value, and we've got seven values. How we know when we're in alignment with our values, what are the feelings, right? And how we know when we're out of alignment with our values. And what we do is, every morning we get on the phone for 15 minutes at 7:45 a.m. And, you know, typically it would have been, okay, did we hit our numbers? And what are the bottlenecks and this stuff? And then what we talk about, you know, how did we do with respect to living in our values? And we each share an insight relative to the values. So we're really internalizing them into our levels of awareness, into our levels of being. And when we go offside, we share that with each other. And that is a conscious business, right? We're really, it's so exciting to me because what we're doing is we're building the framework for a conscious business. You know, unlike anything that I've ever sort of coached or written or taught, I'm doing it now because the idea is to have this organization. Our purpose is to be useful to others and inspire a better world, right? So we're building this this conscious organization that's totally connected to that purpose. And you know, magic happens when that purpose and those values are connected to. So again, coming full circle, that's a big part of what we talked about in Calgary.
Right.
Values.
Values, yeah.
And then to your point.
At least your part of it. Did other people talk about it too?
It just kept coming up.
Oh, it did?
It just kept coming up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So three practices. Let's go briefly over what the three practices is, and
sure.
then we can like kind of delve into them.
Sure. Sure.
If anybody does have any questions around, you know, how you can have a more empowered leadership, you can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685.
And I would just, Lori, if I can insert one thing quickly. This isn't just about leadership. Really what we can do is we can say, all right, here are three practices for raising consciousness, period.
Okay.
Right? My sandbox happens to be in leadership and strategy and business,
right.
but the steps that I propose are based on my research and my experience in my own transformative journey.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So raising consciousness. Nice. So the first one, identifying the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know. It's the place where we get caught up on, right? That's the one area where, you know, we feel we have to be right. You know, we justify everything. It's just that piece of us that is that, well, like driving to work this morning or driving to the school this morning and, you know, then the casual bikers are out because it's now warmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching, you know, how competitive the casual bikers are,
mm-hmm.
you know, passing four in a row, like just, it's unbelievable. And like no consideration for like the traffic,
mm-hmm.
you know, they just go, like mm-hmm. they don't look, they don't, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I find it fascinating how competitive
mm-hmm.
our egos are because mm-hmm. we have to be, you know, we have to be seen in mm-hmm. the right eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the other component to it is in the actual article that I'm sending out on my newsletter, just for fun, I started out. It's a little different than that. I started out because I did a slight revision. There's a song by the Beatles that George Harrison wrote called "I, Me, Mine," and it was I was on Abbey Road, and it was the last song that the Beatles recorded. And Harrison was a spiritual guy, right? I mean, he followed the whole... Sure they all were. Harrison, you know, he got deep into sort of the Vedic, East Indian stuff. And do you remember that song? You know, it goes all through the day, I me mine, I me mine, I me mine.
I don't know that I do, but...
Should I sing it?
Do you want to?
We are on radio. Okay, don't laugh at my voice then.
I won't.
All through the day... I me mine, I me mine, I me mine.
Okay, I
do, you know,
do
that
remember
now?
That. Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do.
And if anybody wants to give me a record contract, please call into Lori's number on Intuitive Soul.
But I don't know that I knew what it said.
Yeah, all through the day, all the frightened are saying it. Everyone's it's really a pretty cool song, and it just talks about everybody's caught up in I. Me, mine, and that's just the essence of ego, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That truly.
Didn't that David Hawking book you have over there?
Yeah.
The EYE of the I, capital I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. it's true. Well, with that, we're mm-hmm. going to go to our first break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. If you do have a question around the practices of to raising consciousness, give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikhail Mayer on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio The Sky and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and no guarantee is made for the accuracy or suitability of any advice or other information offered.
Just like a maze, where all of the walls are continually changed. And I've done all I can to stand on the steps with my heart in my hand. Now I'm starting to see, maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who tell it to mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. Oh, you see that skin? It's the same she's been standing in since the day she saw him walking away. Now she's left cleaning up the mess he made. So fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. Boys, you can break. You'll find out how much they can take. Boys will be strong and boys don't do wrong. But boys won't be gone without one for a woman. Mothers, be good to your daughters too. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. So mothers, be good to your daughters too.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Mikhail Mayer. Mikhail can be found on the internet at mikhailmayer.com, MIKAELMEIR.com. And today we're talking about the three practices to raising consciousness. And we started with identifying the ego. And, you know, if you missed the first part, you know, Mikhail did sing to us Beatles song. Woohoo! Which I then remembered the song. It's true, though. We do obsessively identify with the ego. I mean, that's who we are. We think of ourselves as what we do. We think of ourselves... You know, we rarely, if somebody talks to us, we rarely go into the spiritual aspects unless it's a friend that we have the same thing. But if somebody mm-hmm. says, so, you know, what do? That's what they're asking. They're wanting mm-hmm. to know, well, who are you from a perspective of what do you do? And mm-hmm. we rarely ask, you know, we do have this obsession with, you know, we're a parent, we're, you know, an employee or an employer, we have this obsession of wanting to identify ourselves as something instead of saying a spiritual being.
Mm. I am.
I am.
Pure con. I am.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. And it's that identification that causes so much mental suffering. It's right. The story of me.
Yeah.
You know, what is the story of me?
It's the story that is the problem.
And I'm right at the center. And how do I protect that story of my bank account and, you know, my job and my family? And how do I enhance that story of my career and my bank account?
But the story is also the problem, too, because that's all the things that happen to us, right? Instead of who we are, it's the things that happen to us.
Right. That's what some people call the illusion.
Yeah.
Is that story. So that identification with it.
Yeah.
And letting it get in the driver's seat and really drive all of our fears and desires, we lose the essence of who we really are, right? And we don't have access to greater consciousness. Like raising consciousness for me, and kind of what I share with business people is us having access to way more information, way more intelligence, because that story of me is so constrictive. It's right. It collapses all possibility. Whereas if you get out of that story of me and recognize the essence of who we really are, which is pure consciousness, not to get too deep, but then we can access all of who we are, which is pure consciousness. So, so the first step, in my journey was just realizing that, hey, this ego is in control, in the driver's seat, wrecking havoc in my life, causing pain to me and others, and I can listen to it and not react to it. I don't have to identify with it.
Right.
So that's what I share with people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there are a lot of people that say we have to get rid of the ego. I'm not so sure. I think there's a part of us that I think there's a way that we have to incorporate it into until we're pure consciousness and, you know, maybe don't have a body. I don't know how we could. I know that not all ego is bad.
You mean until we realize that we're pure consciousness and don't have a body?
Well, yes.
Right.
It's hard to imagine from our perspective because, you know, we see ourselves as a individual.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see ourselves as pure consciousness. Mm-hmm. We don't see ourselves, but we still identify. It's difficult to see how the ego would not be part of this life in a life that is, you know, I mean, if we...
For 99.9999999% of the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even the Dalai Lama talks about him. He doesn't say he has eradicated his ego. I mean, he still talks about his family and he still identifies himself as a being, a person. So, I don't know. Mm. It's interesting. I mean, I've heard people talk about getting rid of the ego, and I think that that's just their spiritual ego talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's just developed into a different place. So, it's an interesting thought, and I don't know what it will look like, but I'm sure at some point it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't have the full understanding of ego. I mean, there's different interpretations. There's the psychological interpretation. There's the spiritual interpretation. You know, but based on what I've learned is that, you know, if we come into a place where we realize we're the awareness, then we can witness a lot of what happens, and we can let go of so much suffering. I haven't even come close to mastering that. I'm just starting to relate to the fact that, hey, I am just awareness. I'm not the body and the ego and all of these things. What the great Eastern spiritual masters have said is beginning to resonate. And then as that begins to resonate more and more, there's a letting go of a lot of crap.
No, sure.
Yeah.
Like the negative attachment we have to things, the competitive, all of that stuff, that definitely has to go.
Yeah.
I think there's a positive. I don't know. I don't know what it would look like, but I can't see us not identifying somehow as a, because we're individuated. We are individuated. You know, we are uniquely us.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, I mean, we're...
We are, and this is a big paradox, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We are and we aren't, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the second one is expose your leadership shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That part of us that wants the power, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've done some work around the shadow. I told you,
yes.
You know, I've done some studying with Debbie Ford, who I think is amazing. And she integrates, you know, Carl Jung and Freud and Vedic wisdom, because I think she studied with Deepak Chopra for a long time, a lot of different stuff. But, you know, the shadow is, you know, as Jung says, you know, it's the part of ourselves we don't want to see.
Right. That we push away.
That we push away and that we mask and we hide. So so what I talked about, I didn't get into detail at the conference, but, you know, it all stems from these beliefs,
mm-hmm.
right, that fall into three core categories as far as I can understand. You know, one of them is inadequacy. So I am not enough. Or I am not enough of something, right? Rich, smart, attractive. One of them is scarcity, which is a huge one for me. I don't have enough money, attention, love, whatever you think is scarce. And the last one is trust, right? I don't trust you, myself, God, so on and so forth. So, you know, we get into those limiting beliefs and we don't like them, right? So if I don't think I'm smart enough, the mask I'm going to wear is the guy that's super intelligent, and I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to want everybody to tell me how intelligent I am. But that you're not smart enough lives in my psyche,
mm-hmm.
right? And that you're not smart enough, unless I actually see it and bring it into my level of awareness, pops up in really dysfunctional ways, you know, in my day-to-day existence. This causes a lot of pain and suffering. It sucks up energy because I'm hiding it. It kills authenticity because I'm not being who I really am, because I don't have access to all of who I really am. So I'm hiding who I am and I'm masking it, and so basically sucking energy, sucking authenticity. So again, limiting access to information, which is consciousness, is access to intelligence and wisdom and truth. And the shadow blocks a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, I mean, it's a big part of our unconscious. Like, yes, we might have had experiences in this life where we thought, I'm not smart enough, or I'm trying to prove something. And usually we're trying to prove something to one of our parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in the big scheme of things, I mean, it's really not, we're not very aware of those beliefs anymore. Mm-hmm. And then there are even underlying beliefs that, you know, we didn't even know we have. Mm-hmm. Like, some of them could be part of the collective unconscious. Mm-hmm. Some of them could be part of, you know, past lives.
Mm-hmm.
Lessons that we're working through that just haven't,
mm-hmm.
We haven't been moving forward, mm-hmm. but we haven't been aware of why we haven't been moving forward, because mm-hmm. they're so mm-hmm. deeply buried
mm-hmm.
in our unconscious
totally.
And the shadow.
Totally. Totally. And so imagine if you can actually make that unconscious. What Jung says is, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
Yeah.
So, which is a beautiful quote. So can imagine the power, that reservoir of power that's available to you, if you could actually see, hey, you know what? I've got this root. I'm not capable enough. And that's what's driving my excessive ambition. And then in your day-to-day life, if you could say, oh, there's my drive for excessive ambition. Oh, and it comes from that limiting belief that I'm not capable enough. Oh, and I don't have to really identify with it and buy into it. I can just witness it. And in that space of witnessing, I can make different, more productive choices that are aligned with my highest future possibility. That's accessing greater levels of consciousness.
Yes. All right, we're going to go to our second break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikael Mayer. Mikael can be found on the internet at mikaelmayer.com, mikaelmeir.com. And Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul. We are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know who would want to take me home. I know who would want to take me home. I know who would want to take me home. You will be from closing time. This room won't be open till your brothers or your sisters come. So gather up your jackets, move it to the exit. I hope you have found a friend. Closing time, every new beginning. Some other beginnings end. Yeah, I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. I know who I want to take. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikhail Mayer. Mikhail is with us every third Friday of the month. All right. So right before break, we were talking, well, we've been talking about the shadow aspect. Now, obviously in leadership or in business, it's interesting because they're all the same. Like they seem to be kind of universal, kind of core. These three that you talked about, which is inadequacy, where it's I'm not enough. Whether it's, you know, I guess in business, you know, we're always striving to be the best, but we don't feel the best. And the reason we're striving to be the best is because we're feeling we're not enough, you know, that there's some part of us.
It's a core belief that says I'm not enough. And we're trying to fill that up.
Yeah.
Through striving and acquiring outside of ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the scarcity, I mean, the whole economic system is based on supposedly that there's, you know, only so much money or so much gold, the initial one. And, you know, if you make, I mean, for a lot of spiritual people, they have a problem with it because they think, you know, you have to take from somebody to get, right? So like that there's not enough money out there. There's not, you know, there's not going to be enough. For everybody. And that kind of filters in the whole economic system where, you know, it's, you've got to be the best. You've got to, you know, you got to do it better. You got to be better than everybody else. You've got to offer something more unique. You got to be, you know, it's always that strive.
You know, just to interrupt for 2 seconds, because I did a bunch of work with spiritual, sort of more holistic practitioner group. And what I found was you're right, they were uncomfortable asking for money. But I found that it was because of the first limiting belief, which was, I'm not enough. So why would anybody want to pay me for my value? I'm not valuable enough. Mm-hmm. And so we spent a lot of time helping them see that that was just a limiting belief, and that their value was tremendous. You know, and we looked for proof of their value and did some things. But, you know, the other thing, too, is if you're spiritual and in business, a lot of times the conventional business world beats up on you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in that sort of holistic, heart-centered entrepreneur space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And then the trust one, that's a... That's a huge one, because I believe, you know, you go down far enough that everybody will get to the God one. I mean, our whole, okay, in the Christian world, our whole Bible is based on, you know, Adam and Eve getting thrown out of the garden, you know, like it's...
Jewish world, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, we've been abandoned by God. We were sent out. So we have this, there is this trust issue that, you know, I might not be good enough to be in the garden, or I might not be good enough. I mean, it's, you know, we're...
Oh,
we're,
that is more Christian. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like,
you know,
the original sin
thing?
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, that a lot of people, if they go down far enough and back enough and deep enough, you will find that you don't trust God, because we feel alone. We feel isolated. We feel abandoned. We are not... We don't feel that connection 24/7. Mm-hmm. We don't feel that connection to self.
So you know how to feel. You know how you feel that connection to self.
Well, I know how I do it.
How do you do it?
Well, I mean, I usually through meditation, or through, you know, finding that space, you know, finding the observer through, you know, I have to feel it. Mine's a feeling thing. I mean, I can go through times where I can feel very isolated and alone, and then, but then that's my story. So, and then moving into that connection is, you know, when I feel more balanced, when I feel more present, when I'm fully centered.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say belief, right? But I guess what your comment brought up for me was that, you know, if we believe that we're safe and protected, then we are safe and protected. And then we try that out, we realize that we are safe and protected, and our faith grows. So that's one way, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're, and some people need to feel, right?
Yeah.
So you know, you spend time with yourself.
Trust is a really big word, though. Like, trust is an interesting word that has a lot of different parts to it. So trust doesn't necessarily mean safety and protected for me. But, yeah, and I don't know if you were to say, you know, define trust.
You're not going to trust unless you feel safe.
I guess. See, I've never had a problem with feeling safe, but I've not necessarily trusted people.
And I would say because you didn't feel safe.
Possibly.
With them.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe they were predatorial, they were going to possibly take advantage, or maybe your intuitive sense was that something's not right here.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. They're interesting words. They're interesting concepts, because they make you go deeper.
Yeah. If our parents weren't there for us as kids, we're going to have problems with trust.
Yeah.
And how many people have fully conscious parents?
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Wasn't there... Dr. Spock let your kid cry in the crib until he's, I mean, how's that kid going to ever trust in the world? The Ferber method, like, I mean, it's counterintuitive, right? No, we know if our kid cries, we need to be there giving our kid love so they can feel safe in the world. But how many of us sort of not going to say your age, but my age, you know, had parents that, you know, made it their top priority to help us feel safe.
Mm. It's interesting, for sure.
And maybe that's part of the human experience, right? Maybe we're supposed to not feel the trust early on and grow into it as we become more conscious in adulthood.
Yeah. All right. So the third one is develop your powers of observation.
Mm-hmm. I was using accessible vocabulary for business people.
Of course.
But there, I'm talking about, you know, witnessing.
Right.
The ability to step into that witness consciousness.
Right. And to be just present, just to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, the way, so if we're identified with ego, we're identified with the shadow, we're identified with all these things, how do we disidentify? Yes. Observe. Yeah. We observe. Right? And then we realize we're not our minds.
Yeah.
We're our bodies because we can observe them.
It's true.
Then who are we?
Well, yes. It's true, yet it's also still us, but yet not. Yes. I mean, it's an interesting concept, mm-hmm. right? Because we are in this physical world. We chose to come into this physical world. You know, we can't ignore and not be. I mean, to be present still means in our body. Because a lot of times, you know, especially when the New Age was sort of beginning and everybody was just like way out of their body. Because, you know, it's like you don't want to be here. And I don't know, maybe that was a trust issue too, but, you know, people just didn't want to be present. And we're really here to be in a very physical world with physical pains and everything else that goes with it and the joys and the feelings and the... So there's still an aspect of us that are still supposed to be part of this experience, individuated as well as connected.
Mm-hmm. But the masters tell us that the path to enlightenment is to disidentify with the body and the mind.
That's what they say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. That's what they say.
Mm.
And I think, you know, it's much different story if you're on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's where we're supposed to be. I mean, because if you go into any of the tantric teachings, which are probably the oldest, they say, of all religions, I mean, it's very much about being in the body to experience everything, not just the witness. But yeah, it's a tough one because we get caught up in what the masters say, what you know, what the teachers, what you know, those around us say, and I don't know. Bless you. Bless you.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's not one path.
Yeah.
Right? There's an experiential path. And there's, I mean, it's like the different yogas, right? There's the bhakti, which is devotional. And you can get there through devotion. There's jnana, which is the path of knowledge. There's the experiential path, which I guess is tantric. I thought tantric was a little bit later, but... You know, through,
no, it's apparently the oldest.
So in the Patanjali Sutras, they take you through the sort of, you know, the way of being and the sort of the whole eight paths. That's experiential for sure. But I've always been more drawn to Vedanta, which is kind of the final knowledge, which is, it's not about experience. It's about knowledge that'll set you free. And it's knowledge of who you really are, which is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's working for me.
That's good. All right, so we're going to go on our last break. And you are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Mikael Mayer. Mikael can be found on the internet at mikaelmayer.com, MikaelMeir.com. And we are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. New Sky Radio.
How far will you go? How deep is your love?
Your body's bruised and on fire. Can't stop the world, can't stop desire. And I can't turn around. And I can't turn around. Some days I can see the future. Some days you seem so far.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Mikhail Mayer. Mikhail's with us every third Friday of the month. And he can be found on the internet at mikhailmayer.com, M-I-K-A-E-L-M-E-I-R.com. And we're talking about practices to raising consciousness. So we went a little bit of a tangent there, but we're back to talking about witnessing. And you talked about, you know, there's accessing the presence, mm-hmm. which is that stillness, the calm, the mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, that's kind of being in the present
mm-hmm.
and grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so witnessing, you know, I guess all of the master meditators kind of share that, you know, being witnessing, whether it's Vipassana in your body or it's your breath or whatever your technique
yeah.
is, gets you present.
Yeah.
Witnessing your the breath coming into your nostrils and gliding out of your nostrils, you're present, right?
Right, right. Or as Eckhart Tolle talked about, you know, being aware of your pain.
Mm.
You're there in your pain.
Your pain body, yeah.
Well, no. There was a in the now. In,
mm-hmm.
He talked power about the power. Yeah, he talked about, you know, women having an advantage because every month they have physical pain.
Mm.
But you know, going through what I've been going through, you know, someone said, oh, you know, they say if you're present, you don't have pain. It's like, no, actually, it makes me very present when I have my pain because I'm. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
I might be putting too much focus on it, but then I come back to but it brings you there for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, I mean, when I'm practicing yoga, if I go into a pose that's physically challenging, And I'm identifying with the pain. It hurts. But I can always shift into, let me witness the pain. I'm actually not the one experiencing the pain. I'm awareness. The pain goes away.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I get really practice getting really present around the discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Accessing space, so between the story of me.
Mm-hmm. So basically, what did I say? I said, when you're developing your powers of observation, you can access, what, four things? Presence, mm-hmm. space, freedom, and power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we talked about presence, if you're developing your observation power, and now you can also access space, right?
Right. Right. So just being the observer of that story mm-hmm. that we kind of tell ourselves all the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I mean, it's the space between the ego, the story of me, the shadow, where all that stuff is, and awareness, the witnesser of this of all that stuff. And by witnessing and detaching and disidentifying, there's now a space between me as awareness and me as the story of me. And in that space, I think that's where God lives. Right? I think that's the divine place. And that's also where all possibility exists. So I now, as a human being, have the freedom to make a choice. And I can choose in that space whether I want to submit to habitual mental reaction patterns, or I want to, you know, create something different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's freedom.
Right.
It's freedom from the prison of our mind. It's a powerful, powerful thing. It seems mm-hmm. simple, but it's so powerful.
Right. Well, because we don't feel free anyway.
Mm.
Right, most of the time.
But why do you practice meditation? So you can practice living in that place of the witness so that you have the spaciousness, you have the freedom, and you can choose to get out of slavery of those habitual mind patterns.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
And that's how do you access greater levels of consciousness as a leader? Got to start doing that. Like with all my clients, what's your spiritual practice like? I don't have one. Okay, start sitting by yourself 2 minutes in the evening and 2 minutes in the morning. Do you know how many can actually do it the first week? None.
Really?
None. That's insane.
So these are people that are not on their path yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are on the path because they're coming to see me, but they're really mired in business.
Mm.
I mean, I find business people that come and see me are people that are either in massive amounts of pain and there's an awakening that needs to happen, and they need someone who's kind of been through it to show them how to get there. Or it's people that are awakening, mm. or more awake, we'll say.
Mm. And then accessing the power.
Yeah.
Without the, well, you said observing the shadow, knowing its origin, we can accept, integrate,
yeah,
enable greater
right,
authenticity.
Right. So yeah. So again, it's the power that we can access through developing our powers of observation is you have the greater levels of awareness of the shadow. And the ego, and you're not a slave to them anymore. So they don't drain our energy. All that mental suffering isn't there anymore. And so that gives us tremendous access to our own inner reserves of power.
It's all certainly what we are all trying to achieve, mm. right? This is where we're headed, and this is, you know, the ways we can get there if we're wanting to raise our consciousness. And I think incorporating them into business would definitely be, because we're so busy trying to do it just for ourselves, but to take it that next step mm-hmm. and to move it into business would mm-hmm. be a very interesting
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got to bring this stuff into the day-to-day culture.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we don't live on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, we can't be in meditation 12 hours a day or 14 hours a day. We have to live. We have to survive. We have to be here.
But what is meditation, right? Can it be just witnessing our daily
life? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we practice on the cushion, and then when we get off the cushion, hopefully after many years of practice, I mean, it's taken me so long, you know, we can begin to witness in our daily life.
Yeah.
And it really access that power. So you know, if we come back to the central point of this conference that I went to, I mean, they talked about, is there a dimension of ethical leadership that needs to be emphasized? I said it's consciousness, greater levels of consciousness, and focused in on the self-awareness aspect of greater levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I think this is, if leaders or anybody in the world practice these three things, I mean, ethics just is, right? You can't not act rightly, you know, if you're practicing, you know, identifying the ego, identifying your shadow and integrating it, and then witnessing on a moment-to-moment basis, right action arises. It's not something we have to force because it's a checklist that, you know, we want to do this right, we want to do that right, or else, you know, there's going to be punishments and penalties and, you know, our conscience, this, that, and the other. No, it's just practice becoming a better person and you'll be ethical.
All right. So if you want more information about Mikael, go to his website, Mikael Meir, MikaelMeir.com, and you can find out more about what he does and services he's offering. And I guess you're kind of expanding into a new area, too, to bring in more stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We can talk about that next week, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
All right, so you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.